Now I will invite our distinguished first speaker, Dr. Svetlana Broz, who is a human rights fighter, I would say. She is very much engaged with all the issues of human rights. Svetlana will speak about very, very interesting topic, as you have seen. It's this power of one, what each of us can do in order to make this world a better place. Svetlana, please.
Thank you, Professor Tanović. Good afternoon, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, dear collaborators, dear friends, dear organizers of this wonderful event, to have such a wonderful group of young, motivated people and a wonderful group of those who will be speakers and who will share their experiences. It is really my honor to be today here with us. With you, sorry. So it's about technique, I think. I have to share my experience with you about something which should be important issue as, it was not stopped at the time. Important issue on what each of us can do in the particular circumstances in which it is easier to be bystander than to become an upstander. Well, you are now in Bosnia and Herzegovina, in the state with about 4 million inhabitants. Nobody knows exactly how many of us are here because nobody made any census since 1991. But I guess that that it is about 4 million. Well, those 4 million have 14 governments, 14 parliaments, and as you can see, three vital national interests, corrupted society from the top to the bottom, and many politicians involved in chain of organized crime at Balkans. It's not a very motivated picture of Bosnia and Herzegovina for young future politicians who should try to change something, isn't it? Well, think about yourself. How would you behave in such kind of circumstances? I passed through your schedule of this conference, and I saw that a lot of those issues you will have in the particular workshops. So I will not talk about them any more than you can see or read or hear. I just wanted to give you a croquis of this society, to be sure that we know where we are at the very beginning of our discussion about something which should be the next. What do you think? Then it will disappear. Then it is the question, how can young politicians in Bosnia and Herzegovina be induced to summon up enough civil courage to change the bankrupt Dayton constitutional structure? This question was one among questions which I sent to President Clinton when we were all invited to send our questions, and I'm very sorry that he would not have time or something else to answer those questions. But it stayed as something which you might answer. Why not? Do you have any idea how can our young politicians deal with this problem? Or it's... No way is one of possible answers, but I don't like this one. I want something which should be much more optimistic. Okay, then we can see something else. We can talk about civil courage as something which we can define as the will and ability to disobey, resist, oppose, and to end by nonviolent means the abuse of power by any public authority, private enterprise, or individuals who deliberately neglect their duties to society or illegally use for their own advantage the levers of their political, economic, or social power, whether in the media, academics, ecclesial, or family spheres. Well, so many places in the society which is corrupted from the top to the bottom again, where young politicians should show up their civil courage. What is easier? To be bystander? To be young politicians who will lead, who will be led by their own older politicians? Or to be upstanders who will say, no, you are not right, something is wrong, something is about corruption, something is about violating human rights, etc., etc.? Who have the answer? What is easier? Bystander or upstander? Bystander, well. And why should our young politicians try to be upstanders when it is even dangerous in such kind of societies? Politicians are not very happy when they have somebody who will try to tell them what really happened, because they're very happy changing nothing. And what about young people? Would they accept to change nothing and accept to live in such society, or will be awakened, will stand up for their rights and for their future? And then it is a question how to encourage young politicians to become upstanders. Have you any idea? It was another question for President Clinton. Can you give the answer instead of him? So, in the lecture room full of young present or future politicians, it's very strange not to have any idea about. Please.
You can create a support network to support the people.
It is something which is starting to be developed in our society through the one NGO which called themselves the Whistleblowers. So they realize that one by one they can hardly change something, but if they are together, if they are organized somehow, if they make a network, then maybe they will succeed. Yes, please. Educate them. Well, great. I didn't see who told that, but yes, you. How to educate them? How to educate them to become upstanders?
Like one thing is skills, like leadership, and the other thing is knowledge. Mm-hmm. Like if they want to change, they have to define what change do they want and how do they want to get it.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you. It's very interesting. It's something which we'll talk about, because it is something which you will see now.
U tom vremenu, dakle, u takvom turbulentnom vremenu, trebao je Herald Tribune. I on je bio jedno olakšanje da vidim da nisam sam.
Well, you see, it was the president of... It was the president of Croatia between 2000 and 2010, Mr. Stipe Mesić, whom we filmed for the documentary about one of our laureates, journalist from Croatia, Viktor Ivančić, who has got this year, 2012, the award, Duško Kondor Civil Courage Award for Affirmation of Civil Courage. So it is one of the possible ways of educating the whole population, and of course, especially young people, that there are people who resist, opposed, disobey, who stand up for their own ideas and moral norms. I'm not sure that you grabbed the message of Mr. Mesic. He was talking about himself when he became the president of Croatia in 2000, that he figured out in his cabinet, in his office, the phone, which was a straight phone line with the president of Serbia, Milosevic. Means that the previous president of Croatia, President Tuđman, had a hotline with President Milosevic. All over the wars in Croatia, in Bosnia and Herzegovina, in Kosovo, because after that Tuđman died. Well, that's why President Mesić told, while innocent people who didn't know each other were fighting, they had a hotline and they made their deals about everything, about wars, about peace, about crimes. You see, but it is something about civil courage to stand up and to say something like that in public, as it was done by President Mesić. There is no many politicians in our region who are capable and able to deliver such kind of truth, what they faced with and what they were supposed to overcome and what they were supposed to fight against. It's one of the possible truths. Well, should we continue with the clips from documentaries?
Autoritarnog sustava u vrijeme kada je bilo malo mogućnosti za iskazivanje različitog mišljenja ili posebno kada je bilo malo mogućnosti za iskazivanje kritičnog stava prema potezima vlasti, pojavljuje se Federal Tribune koji je bio ne samo osvježenje, on je bio mogućnost da se hrvatska javnost upozna sa istinom. Jer u to vrijeme Hrvatskoj je trebala istina.
Feral je bio veliki izvor za to rekonstruisanje prošlosti. Feral na kraju pokazuje da nema totalnih društava. To samo izgleda pod pritiskom sile. U svakom društvu se nađe neka manjina koja neće da izda ni svoja profesionalna, ni svoja moralna, ni svoja intelektualna uverenja. I zapravo ta manjina radi za budućnost već tada u tim najtežim trenucima. I mislim da su Feral, Ivančić i ljudi oko njega radili za to.
Mislim da je to zapravo sjajno, da su Feral kao argumentaciju, kao svoj argument, mogli koristiti zapravo građani koji su ga gledali kao zrcalo društva u nastajanju, i kao list, kao novinu koji je zapravo upozoravao na to kakva bi Hrvatska trebala biti i svakako kakva Hrvatska jest.
Ono što je zapravo, zbog čega Feral je imao najveći odijum kod tih vladajućih ideologa, je činjenica da je on bio potpuno suprotstavljen logici rata koja je tada vladala, potpuno suprotstavljen tom jedinstvu crkve, vojske i države koje je marširalo u Hrvatskom desetljećima.
Mi smo se odmah na najdirektniji način konfrontirali sa tadašnjom vlasti u Hrvatskoj i oni su nas dosta ozbiljno shvatili. Već poslije 6 mjeseci izlaska mi smo objavili naslovnu stranicu sa Tuđmanom i Miloševićem koji leže zajedno u krevetu uz naslov jesmo li smo za to borili. Kao novinar dužan si da svjedočiš nekoj stvarnosti oko sebe, ne da je falsificiraš, ne da je prikazuješ drugačijom. Većinu tih stvari koje smo mi objavili, koje su skandalizirali, izazvali one neugodu, nije ih bilo s profesionalnog stanovišta teško otkriti. Nego se samo trebalo odvažiti da ti kažeš ono što niko drugi neće da kaže.
Nije to sve skupa bilo lako, ne samo zbog vanjskih pritisaka, prijetnji, sudskih tužbi, raznih vrsta prisluškivanja, dosjea, raznih drugih vrsta političkih i policijskih pritisaka na nas. Osjetiš neku vrstu uzaludnosti svega toga što radiš. Pišeš o zločinima iz broja u broj, pišeš o pljačkama iz broja u broj, pišeš o kriminalu, a ne događa se ništa. Sve ostaje isto. I tek godinama nakon što je Feral objavio neke tekstove, ali baš godinama, su ti slučajevi došli na sud. Možda je najeklatantniji primjer slučaj Damira Glavaša.
Oni koji su željeli ugasiti taj glas istine, koji su željeli ugasiti Feral Tribune, oni su stvari izgubili. Ljudi koji su uređivali Feral Tribune, oni su povijesne ličnosti, oni su dobili.
You see, it was about journalism and the role of the... Sorry, I didn't stop it on time. The role of the journalist in the society. But we can talk about the role of the politicians in the society, which is, with this example, very similar. Those journalists who refused to accept this bloody politics of Tuđman's regime in Croatia faced so many problems in their while they were working, but they didn't give up. And they were recognized finally as those who become a part of the history, of the honest history of this state. Although the regime at that time managed to destroy the whole magazine, having so many court processes against them and exhausting them in a physical way, in a financial way, etc., etc. But... the group of journalists thought that it is much more moral to close the magazine than to switch towards some of those war profiteers who might bought them and who might change the policy of the magazine. So it is something about the possibility of choice. As Hannah Arendt wrote a long time ago, that it is always possible to say yes or no in the face of evil. Each of us have this kind of possibility. It's just up to us, would we or when we will, it is something which I would like to ask as a question, when we will show up our choice and when we will stand up for the rights, our rights or rights of others when they are violated and when something is very, very unfair. NGO Garivo, which I lead, is the NGO with a wonderful team of young people who are very motivated to work on the issue of education on civil courage. So we develop a program on education on civil courage or moral courage, which is the synonym, just because we thought that it is the most important way to wake up our people and to show them how important it is not to be bystanders in their own lives. It is a slow motion process because changing of mind is always the slowest, I think, of all possible processes. But still we have a lot of results, and I'm very proud that among young participants at this conference are some of our students who passed through our programs of education on civil courage 6 or 7 years ago, whom I met today and was very happy to see them. Well, something which is very important is to have a role model. When we realize that our societies, I'm talking now about the West Balkan, not only about Bosnia and Herzegovina, because we all suffered from of same phenomenons, and one of them is a lack of role models, positive role models, and role models which might inspire young people to wake up and to start to think about themselves and about their role in the society. And that's why we decided to make the series of long documentaries, 1 hour long documentaries about such kind of marvelous human beings. And you will see the short clip from one documentary about Neđo Galić, who has been awarded posthumously this year, 2012, with the Duško Kondor Civil Courage Award for civil courage. He lived in Ljubuški in the West Herzegovina since 2001, when he unfortunately died very young.
Današnji dan, dakle 15.8.1993. godine. U ranim jutarnjim satima su ljudi sa kombijima išli od ulice do ulice i pozivali bošnjačko stanovništvo da se jave pred zgradu tadašnjeg MUP-a, starog MUP-a dakle. Ljudi ne znajući što ih očekuje, jednostavno su išli i javljali se, ne znajući da ih tamo već čekaju pripremljeni kamioni. U te kamioni su i natovarili i odveli na heliodrom.
Neđe je otišao u stožer, rekao je tom tamo koga je sreo, ja ne znam ni ko je to bio, nikad nismo, mislim, nima ni ništa nije govorilo. Molio je, ljudi moji, ovo je ludost, ovo ne možete raditi, ovo je zločin. Ovaj mu je drsko rekao, neće nama komunjare više zapovijedati, s kim ćemo mi Hrvati živjeti. Ako ti je žao Balija, ćeš iti s njim. Neđer se vratio, slomljen, nismo znali šta raditi. U nekom trenu jedna žena iz Toca je poslala iz Njemačke garantno pismo nekom od ljudi koji su bili već na heliodromu, jer su im, neko im je rekao da bi ta, s tom garancijom mogli izići. Ta žena je poslala to garantno pismo na nas faks. Posle tog garantnog pismo stizali su jedno za drugo, pa cijele dane i noći stizali su garantna pisma koje sam ja rezala, pa izjutro bih čitala. Žene su stajale okolo i čekale. Prozvali su nas u to vrijeme mudžahedinska ambasada jer smo stajali tu i pomagali tim ljudima, ženama. Bilo je stravično gledati žene koje ne bi dobile garantno pismo. Plakale su, sjedale bi na stepeništu, molile su. Nismo znali šta radi. I onda smo počeli krivotvoriti ta pisma. Pravili smo lažne, kopirali smo ih ponovo, samo mijenjali imena i tako smo izvozili jedno po jedno.
Ta pisma smo mi nosili u policiju. I policija je svaki dan, koliko bi dobili ti garantni pisama, nosila i čije ime je bilo na tom garantnom pismu, taj dan bi iz heliodroma u Ljubuški vratili se ti ljudi.
Njegov čin, to je čin epskoga, onak. Ja ne znam koliko ta Ljubuška regija ima, ne znam, recimo 40.000 stanovnika. 40.000 potencijalnih je ljudi koji su mogli povući taj potez. Nije ga povukao niko, povukao je samo on.
Apsolutno, rizikovao je život, ja mislim tako. Koliko god je to bio negdje grije, ovako pod navodnim znacima, to je ono što je bilo tog trenutka spasonosno i u srcima ljudi ostalo kao vrijesak.
Ljudi su obično, kako je smio, zašto je to napravio? Je on izdao vjeru po navodnicima nauci, ono, mislim da on nije izdao svoje srce i da je to najbitnije cijela te priče.
Kad je umro, rekla sam, umro je čovjek.
Well, so, Neđo Galić, who is not with us anymore, saved at least 1,000 people from the detention campus during the war in Bosnia and Herzegovina. Doing something which was against the law. He made the false documents which allowed to those people to leave the detention campus and to leave the country, but to survive. So it's always a question, what motivates us, who we are, when we decide to act. Was it easier for Neđo Galić to stay as a bystander, as all others in his place? As you have heard by one of the witnesses who told there were 40,000 people in this region and each of them had the possibility to act, but none of them act except Neđo Galić. What it is about? Is it about a lack of education, that there is a possibility of choice, that we can always make our choice? Is it about that we are all, or those people at that time were all completely uninterested in what happened with their neighbors, with their friends, with the people with whom they shared their life so many decades before the war started. That's why we develop a program on education on civil courage, and among other parts of the program, we have schools of civil courage, 8-day schools of civil courage. The director of those schools were teacher of democracy and human rights, Duško Kondor, who lived in Bijeljina, in the very northeast part of Bosnia and Herzegovina on the border with Serbia. He was an amazing teacher who was loved by his students, and he had thousands of students whom he educated about civil courage. He taught them that they shouldn't be quiet, that they always have to stand up for their rights. And one day, on the 22nd of February 2007, Duško Kondor, who was a professor, I told, in the secondary school in Bijeljina, was assassinated in his flat in Bijeljina. It was a political assassination, and we lost the best among us. But after a while, the same year, we established Duško Kondor Civil Courage Award and Duško Kondor Award for Affirmation on Civil Courage. We should keep his name and his work in our minds. We should teach new generations through his work about the noble feelings and noble behavior, as he did have. And we should give examples to the new generations about possibility of choice as a role models which are always amazing and very touching. So far, NGO Garivo has 24 laureates in the last 5 years. There are individuals or sometimes group of people who did not accept something which was unfair, which was immoral, which was political, I would say, madness or criminal, in which majority of people were pushed in the period of war. Or after the war, because we have a very similar situation without weapons. Now we have different weapons, unfortunately. Well, such kind of awarding people about what they did in the past means a lot for the society, for young politicians, and at the same time for the families or the same laureate if he or she are still alive. Such people are always somehow alone in their particular societies. Why? Because they're threatened as a traitor of their own group, no matter is it ethnic group or religious group. But they always are somehow considered as a traitors. I used to call this phenomenon of mirror. Those people are mirrors in which majority who were as bystanders doing nothing or who were on the side of evil do not like to see their ugly faces. And that's right. Those people would like to destroy this mirror, not to have it at all, because this mirror always reminds them that they were capable to behave as those wonderful examples did, but somehow it didn't work. They didn't behave that way. So that's why the families of people such as Neđo Galić or Viktor Ivančić or others who we didn't show today, but you can find about them at our website, more data and about some of them documentaries which we made. Those families are very alone today. We have some of such kind of families in small places in which nobody ever told them hello. Can you imagine this cost of what? Of making a choice. But still those people are going in their lives with a very being very proud to their relatives who did their best in the time when it was the worst and that it was very costly. A lot of such kind of people sacrificed their lives for protecting those who were unfairly persecuted. Sometimes they knew them before they sacrificed their lives. Sometimes they were completely unknown people for them. But it was about their own moral norms. They couldn't live life at any cost. And I think that they can be good examples. Just be follower of those who are now very often leaders and who are unfortunately very often on the side of the war crimes or post-war crimes in the chain of organized crime, crimes instead of being decent politicians who might contribute in changing the world. I will ask you for a few minutes of attention about our ode to civil courage.
Hrabrost je kad istinu kažeš, hrabrost je da nikad ne lažeš, kad javno što imaš kažeš, i treba pomoći da tu se nađeš. Ako uvijek ne završi slavno, hrabrost moraš iskazati javno, pa koliko god da to se cijeni, aktivan građanin budi na sceni. Pomozi onom ko pomoć treba, čak i smrtna opasnost kad treba. Ne da stojiš, samo glavom klimaš, za radost moraš petlju da imaš. Imaj petlju, za pravdu da se boriš. Imaj petlju, da moći se ne bojiš. Imaj petlju, na daniku pravde da stojiš. Imaj petlju, za sve utrošene da se bojiš. Za istinu život je dao, a opet nikad uviše za to, jer je previše znao. Moćni mrze građansku hrabrost, to njihova je najveća slabost, a kad bunda zazvone zvona, prije i poslije pašće sa trona. Napravi taj veliki prodor, budi vječnik ko Duško Kondor. Imam petlju, za pravdu da se borim. Imam petlju, da moćnih se ne bojim. Imam petlju, na veliku pravde da stojim. Imam petlju, da moćnih se ne bojim. Imam petlju, na
Thank you. So it is one more possible way of dealing with the issue on civil courage, and one more possible way on education about civil courage. I don't know, do you have any idea? Is it possible to sing this song while you have a protest as a citizens if you are not happy with something which politicians, not young, of course, are doing? Well, the answer is yes, because in Montenegro, which is our neighboring country, the citizens have protested last 6 months. And within the last month, they started, when we issued this song, they started to sing it while they have their protest in the capital of Montenegro. Well, we have now something which the third president in my speech told a long time ago. Yes, you can. And I would repeat it. I'm sure that all of you, as young leaders, today or tomorrow, will be able to change whatever you want if you will have civil courage when it will be necessary. And here I will finalize my introduction speech and will invite you to have a conversation. I think we have almost half an hour to talk about this issue on civil courage, of responsibility of individual in the politics, of possibility of choice, of power of one. You are all powerful, and each of you has a power, just have to show it up when it will be the time. The floor is yours. Here is the mic. Mic is here.
I have some input in terms of how to actually organize youth and how to actually bring forth civil courage. I think it's crucial to have role models, but it's crucial to have role models that are youth, that are young. We need to speak in a language that young people also understand. And I really endorse the content of the song you showed. I think it's true, but how would young people communicate this message today? And I think that's something we really need to work on in terms of empowering youth. Why don't we find young people who also express themselves in their terms, in their voices, and use that as a way to organize civil courage? I think that's very crucial to think, especially because I have high respect for the older generation who fought the battles, but you speak in a different tongue, I think, than many young people. So, in order to pass the torch, you need to find examples among the youth and see, the universal truths that you're talking about.
I'm the grandma, so I don't want to be told that I want to be young. I was young long time ago. But still, thank you for this advice. We should try to find them. But, we are, we have always, all over the year, opened the call for proposals for nominations for Duško Kondar Awards. And everybody can always send about whom he or she thinks that they deserve such kind of award. It happened once since now that we did have a very young laureate. She was 20. She's now 23. But at that time she was 20 when she was enough courageous to talk about mobbing which she was exposed to. And in such a patriarchal society as Bosnia and Herzegovina is, still, it is always a problem. So means the International Commission for Awarding decided that she deserves this award. So we have one laureate who was 20. And it's not that we are always using our generation's examples, but there are very few of them, or we have no reports about them. Please do your best, collect the examples and send to us, and we will be more than happy to give them to the commission. Now I will give the floor to all of you, but I would like to give the floor for the moment to the president of the commission.
I want to ask you to tell
Sorry?
Could you tell us in detail for what she got that award, what she did, and what the consequences were?
So she lived in a small city in Zenica, 70 kilometers far from Sarajevo, and she was employed in one NGO in which the president of the NGO was made a mobbing and asked her for different sexual favors. Thank you. But she, instead of following his advices and very many financial and other... I don't know to explain that. It's such a disgusting that I see that I miss the words. Would you be so kind to do so instead of me?
Okay.
The president of the commission, by the way, for awarding.
This girl was 20. She was being sexually harassed by her boss, and she decided to recall... what was going on, and she proceeded to give the recording to the local radio station
and TV station.
Because she had a camera on her telephone on which she was recording this. In a society in which men clearly predominate. As is the case in the Balkans, this provoked some very mixed reactions, both when she did it and when we gave her an award. Of course, she lost her job, and I don't know whether she's got another.
Thank you. So, we are waiting your proposals.
Denmark. Regarding your question about what can be done, I'm also thinking that to bring in the idea of partnerships into the discussion, too. I feel like, especially now after meeting so many people, just for these few hours, and especially after a lot of the discussions we've been having in Copenhagen, it seems like a lot of people have some great ideas. And so I'm thinking about, and I know Humanity in Action is doing is creating a platform, but I'm also thinking about resource pooling. I mean, what are the lessons learned? What can we bring together? What has already been done? And how can we take this step one step further and to put it into a context that's relevant for this local setting. So in relation to this great song that you were also playing, I think that there's a lot of things that you can take from this and we can just repackage them into a setting that where these things are needed. I think a lot of good work can be done with this.
Thank you. So we have
restructuring the educational system here in Bosnia and Herzegovina in order to foster this consciousness of civil courage and creating consciousness of togetherness between different groups, to create a consciousness of coexistence in order to address the issue of civil courage.
Thank you for this question. Ministers, then we have 13 ministries of education. We have the lack of Ministry of Education of Bosnia and Herzegovina. We have no Ministry of Education on the state level, but on all other levels we do have. So can you imagine when we as NGO are supposed to work with secondary school students, we should approach 13 ministries of education and make the 13 memorandums of collaboration with them, if they would like so, but very many of them would not like to allow to their kids to listen about civil courage. Why should they, when they do everything to keep kids separated and to poison them since they are very young, you know? So that's why we should deliver our lectures in the restaurants and hotels, not in the schools. I think that we should reconstruct, first of all, our constitution, which has been written in Dayton, but you will discuss about that in the sessions which you will have next days. And after reconstructing the constitution, we might expect that if it will be successful, of course, that we might have a better organized education system. This one is not a very good, or is very bad, I would say. And that's why we interfere as the NGO in this sector of education to try to correct what those who are in charge of planning education I wouldn't say failed, because it was by intention. They didn't like to involve civil courage as in the curriculum in the schools in Bosnia and Herzegovina. As present politicians who influence the educational system here do not like well-educated young people and courageous young people. They would like to have less educated people with whom they might manipulate. It is the problem in this society. I would like that we are only one society in the world with such kind of problems, but I'm afraid that it is not the case. Yes.
Ruiz, and I'm part of the 2012 Polish program, and I'm from the U.S. I have two comments. One is, I think that a key to success is maybe making civil courage sexy and something that sells. I walk around and I see Coca-Cola everywhere, and I never drank Coke, but I almost want to drink it all the time now. And so, on that note, civil courage is nothing maybe that governments would buy, but if it's like empathy or something that is civil courage but really sounds less threatening to people who would fund it in a sense, maybe that would be a way to develop that sort of partnership.
Sorry, I didn't understand with whom.
Well, if you talk about civil courage, mm-hmm. I don't know, it sounds almost like confrontational. The courage to really go against the trend, go against your classmates and say, hey, don't use that word because it's offensive, hey, don't sexually harass me because I don't like that, when everybody thinks it's okay. I think that there's a lot of elements that go into building somebody that has the courage, and if you give people the tools, and then they can do it. So that was the first point. The second point is this idea of selling it in a way that everybody will be attracted to the idea. And it goes along the other comments of speaking in a youthful language. But it's generally the idea of just having a culture of this courage. And I'm not going to be the first, I have no idea how you could start it, but I think Coca-Cola is doing a great job. So maybe something similar that, you know, you see everybody feeling and seeing and hearing and associating, being united with something that they want to be, and that is a very powerful image to have going forward into your life.
Well, thank you. Well, so
the corruption in your society, politicians not necessarily doing what's best for their people and for Bosnia and Herzegovina, but rather what's best for themselves. You also mentioned the bankrupt Dayton Constitution, and forgive my ignorance, but I probably don't know enough about that to really comment or to fully understand the situation here. But my question for you would be, if the political system itself, you argue, is bankrupt because your constitution is bankrupt, what are some of the incentives that are being created, either by the people, by a minority of politicians, by educators, etc., to not only hold politicians accountable, but urge them and provide them with incentives for doing the right thing?
Say custom to fight for their rights, you know. That's why we are trying to wake them up and to give them a chance to start to rethink about their own position in the society. We all do have a lot of problems, and it is not only about the corruption in Bosnian society. All societies in the West Balkan region are similar. And it is something about the chain of organized crime which is in power in West Balkans. Everybody are conscious about that, but very few people are ready to fight against them. And it is nearly impossible if you are doing that as Duško Kondor tried, you know, to be the witness on the state court about the war crimes committed in his place. So he was murdered by those who are still in power, who were war criminals and who are still in power in his place. Instead of becoming a witness, he was assassinated. Well, few such kind of examples are enough to intimidate other people to do nothing and to stay in the position of being bystanders. That's why we are doing all those activities to try to wake them up, and we will see when it will happen. But I do believe that it is possible and that it is only one way, because nobody else will deal with our problems. Nobody else will, you know, organize what is necessary to, first of all, to change the Dayton Accords and then the Dayton Constitution and then other problems in our society. Yes.
I think what you're doing is very beautiful and very inspiring. I think it's urgently needed in a lot of societies. So I have two questions for you. One, what has been your greatest challenge? And two, do you think this is something that can be done in other countries that still have a lot of, you know, like a conflict going on, all kinds of things, you know, corruption and similar situations to here, basically? Thank you.
We have a moral right to continue this fight, you know, when I was not murdered, he was murdered. But, well, so we continue our, try to find our way and continue. And if you ask about other societies, I, of course, have no data about others as I do have about our own, because we have seven societies and it is far enough for one person to follow seven small failed, six small failed states. Slovenia is not. But I'm sure that there are a lot of problems and a lot of similar situations in the many countries all around the world, which would need the similar solutions, I suppose, of course, considering specificity of each of them. It's a general answer. I can't talk about... I know that I was working about this issue of civil courage since 1992, very first year of the war in Bosnia and Herzegovina, and later on I have got... after I published a book, Good People in an Evil Time, and it was translated in English in the United States. In 2004, I have got Klaas de Jong, Dutch anthropologist. After reading my book, he went to Rwanda to try to find where they have had people who had the civil courage to oppose, to resist, to disobey to the genocide in Rwanda. And I remember that I was weeping while I was reading his report, because it was quite the same as in Bosnia and Herzegovina. Only names, surnames, and toponyms were different, and sophistication of weapons. But everything else was the same. Which means something, that there are so many similar situations all around the world. Well, just a moment. Okay, Mr. Kitzinger had a question. Sorry.
The NGO, the Education Bill of Bosnia and Herzegovina. So the question is, what Ms. Broz thinks about the role of upbringing within the family as essential. And the second thing is actually the media, the role of the media. They very rarely speak in positive colors about the civil courage. So what is your opinion?
Thanks. The role of the families. Well, I don't share your opinion about the role of the family in developing of civil courage. It is true that very many cases I met, and when I was talking with the people who show their own civil courage, they told me that they have had some previous experience, or they have heard that in their family where somebody who helped somebody during the Second World War crossing inter-ethnic or interfaith barriers, or vice versa, that members of their family were helped by somebody else, etc. etc. Means there are that in families it is transmitted experience, and the people who have had such experience are very happy to share it with the new and young generations. But when we are talking about present situation in Bosnia and Herzegovina, I worked with over 100,000 young people lecturing all over the Balkans, not only Bosnia, about civil courage, and faced a lot of situations in which students complained that they, university students, that they have a problem with the professors who blackmail them, that they should pay them or they should give them some sexual whatever for the positive mark, no matter how many knowledge they have in their heads. And you can often hear young students who explain something, as I have heard at the technical faculty of Bihać University, when a student stood up and told, we do have a professor who asked for 300 km per exam. I went home and told it to my father, and my father answered, you know that I'm unemployed, that I do not have this money, but I will borrow this money. I will give it to you, put it into your index, pay this exam, and finally graduate that you can feed yourself. Which means that the members of families are very, means parents, are very often exhausted by the war and this situation which they have nothing, when they are unemployed, it's over 40% of unemployment here, and that they are even able to participate with their kids in corruption instead of fighting against. Well, then it is our turn, again, to discuss with those young people that maybe their parents have a moral right to be exhausted after the war and whatever they pass through, but that students themselves have no this moral right. They should fight themselves, sometimes not expecting that the parents will help them. It is one among our problems. And what was the second question? Media. Yes, I agree with you about media. It is always something which I called as a phenomenon tracing the fresh blood. You know, media are always very eager to publicize something which is about negative deeds, but very few of them are ready to report about something which is very, very positive and such as civil courage. Of course, our media are not free. They are almost always, with very few exceptions, under the auspice of some party, and that's why they have no room for working on appropriate way. But that's why we prepared this long TV series and would like to offer it to all TV stations in the West Balkan region. Then we will have data how many of them are ready to report through our TV series about civil courage. It will be a kind of exam for them again.
Unfortunately, this is the moment we should finish this part, this session.
Wow.